Thanks for staying with WGN Radio throughout your day. We know that it's been a busy news day, so thank you so much for joining the Wintrust Business Lunch with me, Jisoo Yi. We just heard a little while ago former Governor Rod Blagojevich speaking for the first time in a news conference in front of his Ravenswood Manor home. John Williams and Steve Bertrand did a fantastic job. Steve, I'm assuming you're going to be checking in with us if... anything else happened?
Oh, absolutely. Sure thing.
It's been a busy day for you today.
It's been, well, Rod has given us a lot of busy days during his political career.
Absolutely. So we'll be checking in with them. We know that you have a lot to say. John Williams enjoyed taking your calls and text messages throughout his show. And we're going to continue that coverage and listening to what you have to say with Anna Davlantes, who will be continuing the conversation. I believe she's going to have former defense attorney for Rod Blagojevich, Sam Adam, calling in on her show, as well as journalist Natasha Karecki, who covered both trials. She was there every day for both trials for Rod Blagojevich as well in her show. So we're going to be taking a lot of calls and texts from you coming up. So we're going to take a little turn right now, and I'm going to throw our number out there, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200, because a Wintrust Business Lunch favorite, Terry Savage, of course, she's a finance and markets and economist. She's a favorite here of the show, and she's going to be answering your questions about finance or debt. Any question you have about money, she can answer. I've never once heard her stumped. Hi, Terry. How are you?
Hi, G. But before we get to money, you did a great job on that little interview and discussion after the Blagojevich comments. You covered that in days of old?
You were at
the trial every day?
Well,
Tell me about that. I'm interviewing you for a minute.
No. At the first trial, I was working for ABC and was a producer for Paul Mikey, who's now retired, but a veteran, incredible reporter for ABC Chicago, and also helped out the I team over there as well, Chuck Gowdy. So I did cover the first trial. I was there every day for the first trial, which, you know, ended in a mistrial. It was 2 months of testimony and several weeks of deliberation. I think the jury deliberated for about 14 days and they couldn't make up their mind. And of course, it ended in a mistrial, only convicted.
Remind me, why was that? I remember it well, but why was that a mistrial, Jane?
Well, the jury, there was one juror that really couldn't make a decision, and out of 24 counts, because remember in that first trial, the feds really threw the entire book at the former governor, and out of 23 of the 24 counts, they couldn't come to a decision. And the only one that they could decide on was that he had lied to the feds, and that was the only count they could actually be unanimous on, and so they decided that they would head for a retrial, so...
You know, and it's interesting. This is such a story. It pulls at you. I know we're digressing from the stock market. We'll get back to the fact that it's at all-time highs, and how could that be? But this story is really interesting. Those of us with long memories in the news media, I was on the financial side. And I remember writing a column about Rod Blagojevich's accounting ledger domain when he sold bonds, state of Illinois bonds, presuming that he would have to pay less interest than he could earn in the stock market and was supposed to invest the money in the pension fund. Then that was a long, long time ago. This must be 20-some years ago, obviously. And, of course, the pension funds today continue to be so overfunded, the state of Illinois pension fund. It started long before Blagojevich with very generous promises made to workers, state workers. They didn't get salary increases, but they got promised really generous cost of living increases and end results for their pensions when they retired. The Constitution doesn't allow us to go back on those promises, the state constitution. So now the state of Illinois, it's one of the reasons we find ourselves in such a fix, because that generation is now starting to retire. So very, very interesting the impact Blagojevich has had on this state for many years and will continue to have in the future.
Well, we're going to have a lot more with Terry Savage. Of course, she is going to be answering your questions, 312-981-7200, when we continue talking with her. And I think you're going to have a little bit more about bonds as well. G here with the Wintrust Business Lunch. A lot more coming up on Rod Blagojevich during the Anna Davlantes show, including hearing from you and what you have to say and what you have to think. Joining me now is Terry Savage. She is the finance guru here at the Wintrust Business Lunch. Her website has wonderful resources and also her weekly column at terrysavage.com. We just heard her assessment on Rod Blagojevich's tenure on pensions and relating to bonds as well. Terry, what's your assessment right now on the markets?
All right. I'm glad you give me this moment before we get questions. The Dow is now up 155 points. We're at 29,387. The S&P, an all-time high. I would like to announce right now that I am extraordinarily skeptical of what's going on in the financial markets, both the stock and the bond market. The markets today are hoping that China will do something that it will, A, contain the coronavirus, and, B, cut interest rates and pump more liquidity into the markets to keep their economy going. I don't see how they can possibly work in the short run, but all that hope and all that liquidity is what moves markets, and it's moved our U.S. stock market. I'll tell you what other market nobody's talking about today has also moved, and this is a sure sign of skepticism, and that's the gold market, now over $1,600 an ounce, trading today at $1,610, and I think I wrote my last column, it was just trading under $1,200, it was a few months back. I think the gold market reflects more accurately the fear that exists globally, that both the Chinese numbers on the containment of the virus and their ability to have their economy rebound are highly exaggerated right now. And the other, I'm going to give you just two more key points and let's take questions. The column up at terrysavage.com today is called Beware of Bonds. I wrote that last week. It's astounding that as much as the stock market has soared, three times as much money has flowed into bond markets as people who think they're conservative search for slightly higher yields. That's very dangerous because inside some of those wonderful bond funds, you find a lot of triple B bonds just on the edge of below investment grade. Any recession will send them tumbling and the price of those funds tumbling. And I'll give you a preview because I just turned it in 2 days ago.
Yes.
My next week's column is called The Bigger They Come, as in the bigger they come, the harder they fall, an old savage truth and, of course, a great old saying. The stock market has created so Fidelity is out with a report. You know, they are custodian for a lot of 401ks. And on Fidelity's books, there are now 233,000 401k millionaires. They also custodian for a lot of IRAs. Fidelity has 208,000 IRA millionaires on the books. Now, that is not genius. That is a bull market. In fact, a lot of the people invested in those plans are just in index funds. Please don't get complacent, especially if you're near retirement. I don't know when this ends, but I've been through enough cycles now to know that my mother used to say when my brothers were roughhousing in the other room, somebody's going to wind up crying.
So you are very skeptical right now. What do you recommend people do with their money? Because
you know, the hardest thing to do is the thing that is the thing that pains you the most, which is to have some money set aside in cash. I'm not saying sell everything. But I am saying that if you are going to need liquidity over the next 5-6 years, you want to sell down to the point where it won't force you to sell out down at the bottom when you have to take an RMD or you need money to live on. I think this is a good time to have what I have always called chicken money, and you get no money, money in the bank. So the column the week afterwards that I'm going to be working on is called an update on chicken money. But you know, you're not going to get a lot of interest. You can find 2% 6 month or 1 year CDs. I know you don't get rich that way, but you don't get poor.
Well, that's really good advice. Here's your first text question. By the way, our number is 312-981-7200 if you want to call in and ask Terry your question. It's from the 312. They want to know the basics of annuities and if you can explain it.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know I have a brand new edition of The Savage Truth on Money out.
Yes, which is a great book.
I devoted a big fat chapter to annuities. I am not pro or anti-annuity. I own some. But I know that people are getting taken in by promises of stock market upside and no way to lose money on the downside. That's not really the way it works in the end, and they wouldn't be inviting you to, you know, free steak dinners and a presentation if there weren't a lot of money in it, more for the salespeople of these products. And yet we've just seen reports that annuity sales are zooming. People are being taken in by promises they don't understand. They're illiquid. There are surrender charges that could last 8, 10 years or longer. That's how they pay salespeople 80% of the amount you deposit in a commission right away. They've got to keep your money, and they've got to keep your money underperforming what they can do, the insurance companies, in a hedged way in the stock market, because that's how they pay out those big commissions. So by definition, you're not getting all the upside, and there's a chapter on all the many ways you can be taken that way. So annuities have some purpose in life, immediate annuities. It's a big topic. We could take up 2 hours. Read The Savage Truth on Money. Get it online at Amazon. And that chapter on annuities is what I'm most proud of.
This is from the 630. My dad passed last year. I inherited $250,000. I'm 47 years old. Don't currently need the money. What should I do with it?
First question is it inside an IRA? We don't know because it's a text question. I'd love to talk to people. If it's inside an IRA and this happened last year, you're lucky that you do have to start taking withdrawals, but the new rules of the Secure Act don't apply to you, and you'll get to withdraw that money over your lifetime and keep investing it for growth. As 47, I mean, I believe in America in the long run. My concerns about the market are for those people needing the money in the next 5-10 years. So you would keep that in a diversified stock fund inside the IRA and take withdrawals on schedule. Now, assuming you just got this money, there's a quick checklist. Number one, you're going to pay down debt. Not your mortgage necessarily, especially if you've refinanced to a very low rate, but all other debt. Number two, if you're working, you're going to put money in an IRA, put money in a Roth IRA. You don't need the tax deduction. That windfall isn't taxable. So put money in a Roth IRA for long-term growth. And then, again, you'll see my next column after the one that's coming next week on chicken money. There's nothing wrong at the moment with leaving it in a bank. And search my columns. I'm going to redo this. MaxMyInterest.com. There's a big column from last summer on that. Will help you get the highest rates on FDIC-insured CDs. So don't be in a rush to spend it is the bottom line.
Okay, Terry, we have Bill on the line. Bill, what's your question for Terry?
Yeah, hi. Hi, Terry. I hear all the time about compound interest. But they never tell you how to achieve it. And I've heard a stockbroker say one of the best ways is to buy a good dividend-yielding stock and reinvest that stock. Is that achieving compound interest? And if not, what's the best way to do that?
Okay. Well, most CD interest is compounded regularly. In other words, the interest you earn stays within the CD. It compounds. You roll over the CD and you get more. Compound interest is sort of a magical term that means your money's working for you by making money. It may not be earning enough interest according to your desires today, but compound interest is one of the great forces of nature. Dividend reinvestment is really another great force of nature. And Chuck Carlson has a book. Go on Amazon, Charles Carlson, Dividend Investing. I wrote the foreword to that book years ago. It's a classic. And reinvesting dividends is important. If you buy a mutual fund and you have the money reinvested, that's what happens. Because 40% of the overall return of the stock market over the long run, when you get these total return figures, comes from reinvested dividends. Yes, I said 40%, nearly half. When I learned that many years ago, it astounded me. It's not just the stock and then taking the dividends and spending the money. It's reinvesting that really makes the market in your investment grow. That's what happens in a mutual fund if you elect to have your dividends reinvested. If it's inside a retirement plan, they will be reinvested. So that's the key basis of making your money work for you, keeping the money, leaving it in there, compounding in a CD or reinvesting in the stock market or in the stock. You can do it in individual stocks or in mutual funds.
Thanks, Bill, so much for your question. Terry, we are out of time. Can't believe
always.
It. It's never enough time.
I tried to talk fast.
Well, you know what? You do a fantastic job. You always do. There's a lot more questions for you via text. Everybody that didn't get their question asked, please just go to Terry's website, terrysavage.com. She really does actually go through and answer all the questions that you submit on her website. There's a Ask Terry button on her website. Just click on it, and then you can ask her question, and she will get back to you. So thank you so much, Terry, for being with
us. Thank you.
Yeah, we look forward to you. Yeah, next week. Thanks so much. A lot more coming up on WGN Radio. G here with the Wintrust Business Lunch. Thanks for staying right here on WGN Radio throughout your day. A lot more coming up on Rod Blagojevich in the Anna DeVlanta Show, which will kick off in about half an hour. But right now, Vicki Reese is in studio. She is an entrepreneur and a mom. So I guess a mompreneur, right, Vicki?
Absolutely.
And you have an incredible online community. Of course, we know moms have a lot of buying power, and you're also helping moms connect with job opportunities as well.
Absolutely. There's so many moms, whether they're stay-at-home moms, they want to be stay-at-home moms. They're looking for, it's much more than side hustle, if you will, but looking for ways that they can earn, do something that's meaningful, stay away from anything that's scammy, spammy, because unfortunately, with the advent of all the different ways, you know, companies are hearing them talk in conversations on social, they're getting bombarded with things. And we get so many moms saying, Vicki, can you help us vet this out? Can you find out what's good and what's real?
So, Vicki, before we talk more, I want to explain what Joy of Mom is.
Absolutely.
It's an online community, right?
It's an online community, yes.
But how many people?
It's a movement.
Yes. How many moms?
We have over 2.5 million moms, which is 100% organic. Like, really?
2.5 million moms in your network.
Yes. And our reach and engagement, which is really what separates us, our engagement, on an average 2 weeks. With all of our content that we're doing, there's about 60 to 70 million consuming our content, sharing it, liking, commenting, and impacting so many lives that it takes my breath away.
So what are some of the things that are happening in this community and this online platform?
What's amazing and inspiring is that they come together, they mobilize as a unit. So whether there's moms, we've got like zero attrition, whether they've been on since the beginning of my doing live streams, which is going on 5 years now, or they're new to the community, they come on, it's so authentic and genuine and vulnerable and raw. And even though we're in a, if you will, you know, very big and non-personal platform, it's very personal and very intimate. So they'll jump on and they'll talk about anything from they're looking for ways to make money to they don't want to be working out of the home. Their child is just
looking for a great daycare, perhaps.
Daycare, allergies, navigating the spectrum, what to do during downtime, during vacation. It's all those things that are the most important and impactful for us as moms. And what's so powerful is anything we talk about, it's coming from grit. It's coming from experience. It's not, we're not transactional. We're about transformation.
And I'm sure there's also product reviews as well, because moms are recommending this product.
And they're genuine. It's not about people who are, and I'm not putting anything else down. We just have a very different model. We value honesty. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like our North Star. So anything that comes through us is that what moms really love. And anytime that I have talked about products, I've said right up front, if I don't like them or our moms don't, or we find out there's grime left on the counter, we all have a thing about grime. It's one of those mom things. And that we're going to, you know, it's all about just being completely honest and truthful, candid feedback, and helping to improve if brands want to. When it's fabulous, a lot of them do want to improve and be the best they can be.
Well, this is the Business Lunch, so let's talk about connecting moms to money and growth opportunities.
That's one of our distinguishing things, to tell you the truth, because two things that we're doing. One is allowing moms to control their data. So it's not about being, I don't want to use the word victimized, which like everybody, you know what I mean? You know, because then you start getting hit with ads, whatever private conversations you're talking about. But then being empowered by it, our moms want to share their thoughts, their opinions. They want cleaner, greener, better corporate citizens and, you know, better products and more accessibility. And we're that bridge to connect them with brands that really walk their walk. And also we have ways for moms to earn. I've been working on this 5 years.
Okay, so let's talk about this. What's one way moms can earn?
With product reviews, we also just launched an amazing partnership with Shopkick. Oh my God, this is we've vetted and talked to so many and have had so many contact us, but this is an app that's literally rewards mom for being mom. So you're walking into Target, you're walking into Best Buy, Ulta, etc.
I've heard of so many apps that my friends tell me you should sign up for this app because it pays you for shopping,
or like pays you scan you for your walking receipt. In the store,
right.
Scanning receipts, scanning a product you don't even buy. I've been doing it now for 3 weeks. I'm addicted. I'm walking through Target, I'm scanning Airheads, I'm scanning People magazine. And also, there's ways for moms. We're going to be doing bundles. They're coming from our moms. So Shopkick has made a commitment to partner with us. We're looking at a full year on partnership, and God willing, we all think it'll be for many years. But they really want to dig deep with the community and just for our Joy of Mom community. And you know, I worked at WGN Radio, my second job out of college.
Yes.
It's my home away from home, although new studio, love the digs. Everybody's getting a $5 gift card just for signing up, and it's absolutely free. And they pick if it's Target, if it's Starbucks, if it's Amazon.
Love it. Thanks, Vicki, for stopping by. Vicki Reese, Joy of Mom is the online community. Where's the website?
Thanks. What they do is go to joyofmom.com, and to get this free $5 gift card, joyofmom.com/momkicks.
Got it. Well, thank you so much, Vicki.
A lot more
coming up on WGN Radio. G here with a Winterest Business Lunch. A lot more coming up on Rod Blagojevich coverage. Anna Devlantis will be speaking with former defense attorney for Blagojevich, Sam Adam, on her show. So a lot more coming up. So you definitely want to stay tuned to WGN Radio throughout your day. Right now, let's shift gears. It turns out that 2019 was a record year for television, film, and media production activity in Chicago, which is fantastic news, not only for Chicago, but also for the state of Illinois. And joining me now is Alex Picios. He is the president of the CineSpace Chicago Film Studios. How are you, Alex?
Great. Thank you for having me, G. Thank you very much.
So tell us, share some of this good news. It sounds like you've got some really big numbers behind this.
Yeah, there's a record-breaking year in 2019, and we're so excited about it. You know, since we opened up CineSpace in 2011, there's been an estimated $3.1 billion in direct spending from film, television, and commercial production here in Illinois. The more exciting stuff is 50% of that spending is for Illinois resident wages for our own people here in Illinois. And 51% in 2019 of the job hires were women and minorities. So it's great that this business is growing, and it's really impacting the residents of Illinois.
Did you ever expect this type of growth when you first started out in the studio?
No, not at all. I mean, when we started originally, you know, we thought maybe five stages would have been great, but we're up to 36 right now, and all 36 are full of tenants. So it's unbelievable. It's almost it's a dream.
Can you tell me about how many projects happened in 2019 and some of the more important ones in the project list?
Yeah, I mean, the big projects, obviously, the Dick Wolf, Chicago Fire, PD and Med is a fan favorite, and Chicago Fire has been here now. It's going to be 9 years. Fargo was a great one, and that was with Chris Rock. Empire is finishing up this year. And then local stuff, which is great, like Southside, which was produced and written by local Chicagoans, were filming here. And there's more to come. I mean, I just got it back from Los Angeles a couple weeks ago, and we signed two brand-new Fox pilots, which are opening offices this week. And there's two other major television shows that are looking to open up in July. So the momentum is definitely not stopping at all.
So, Alex, talk about your job and how do you so you go to L.A., you have to pitch the studio to producers and see if you can bring the work back to Chicago?
Yeah, you know, you go there and you meet with the studios, actually, you know, like NBC, Comcast, Fox, HBO, and you show them your facility and you show them the upgrades that you're doing, and you kind of tell them, hey, we're open for business here. We have facilities. We have the greatest workforce in the United States. We have casting companies, lighting companies, camera companies. I mean, it's really a one-stop shop here, which unlike most studios in the United States where they need to bring everything in, here we have it on the campus here, which is about 70 acres and 2 million square feet.
So it's not just about the jobs, too. It's about bragging rights for our city and the state.
Oh, yeah. I mean, over 4,000 vendors service the film industry. So that's it's not just the direct jobs. It's about all those vendor jobs that are creating.
And where do you see this going? How much more growth do you see and potential do you see for Chicago?
Oh, I think we just started. I mean, really, we should be a $1 billion a year industry. I mean, New York does over $1 billion a year. Atlanta, Georgia does. And we're over halfway there. I mean, when we opened up in 2011, I believe the spend was somewhere around $50 million a year. So this number that we got yesterday, 560, really has just kept slowly growing and growing, and we really don't see anything ending here.
So why are we lagging behind those other cities? Does it have to do with weather at all? I'm just curious.
Yeah, no. Well, you know, it's the incentive. I mean, Illinois has a great incentive, and it's one that we love here. So we have an incentive here, which is called a below-the-line incentive, which means if you film in our state, then you're going to be able to get the tax certificate, where Georgia actually has an above-the-line incentive, which historically does not work. Michigan had one, and they lost it. Louisiana had one, and they lost it. So I love where we're at. We're telling the studios, hey, come in our state, hire our Illinois people, use our vendors, and we'll support you. So I like where we're going, and I definitely see ourselves at $1 billion very soon.
I think we've all noticed in our neighborhoods where we live, sometimes streets, roads are blocked off because of filming. What have you been hearing? How have residents and neighbors been embracing the movie and TV industry?
I think for the most part, they're excited about it. I mean, everyone's always excited about when their actors are there and they're filming. And the studios, I'll tell you, the productions are very careful with that. They always post signs. They always reach out to the neighborhoods or reach out to the local aldermen and see how they can work together. So they try to make it where it's not that much of an issue.
Well, Alex, I got a TV series pitch for you.
I love it. Let's hear it.
Okay, we'll save that for off air. Thank you so much. Congratulations. Continued growth, and we appreciate everything you're doing for the city and the state.
Thank you very much, G. I appreciate it. Have a great afternoon.
You too. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.